no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. With another 60 minutes of radio drama, this is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. We'll begin this week with The Saint and Peter the Great, his episode from June 24th, 1951. After that, it's Frontier Gentlemen and Advice to the Lovelorn, their story from May 18th, 1958.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Tom Conway. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Tom Conway as The Saint.
Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes, Louis?
It's 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's right.
So for what are we driving out to the racetrack at this hour? You know, the first race don't go off till 1:30 in the afternoon.
A letter from a lady in distress, Louis.
Ah. And you, the Robin Hood of modern crime, are jitneying to the rescue, I might have known.
Louis, keep your mind on the road, please.
Yeah, sure. Hey, is she blonde and beautiful, or is she brunette and beautiful?
She's 15.
She's 15?
Going on 16.
Sounds like a dull case. Well, here's the track, Mr. Temple. Where should I park?
Drive over to the training track, Louis, over by the stable area.
Oh, sure. And say, if you happen to pick up any inside information, Mr. Temple, if you know what I mean.
Save your money, Louis. You cannot beat the horses.
Who wants to beat them? I'm fighting to hold even.
Let me out here, will you? I think I see my lady in distress.
Okay. I'll wait here, Mr. Templer.
Thanks, Louis. Morning, Annie.
Oh, good morning. Are you Simon Templer?
And you're Miss McIntyre. How do you do?
I knew you'd come. It wasn't logical that you shouldn't. I know I shouldn't have asked you, but I knew you'd come.
That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all day, and it's almost 8 o'clock.
That's Dad over there with the watch. Pete's getting ready to work.
Pete?
That's our horse, Peter the Great.
Oh.
Vic's up on him.
And Vic is the boy you're worried about?
Yes. Please don't think I'm a silly, hysterical little girl, Mr. Templer, but Dad practically raised Vic. We grew up together.
And now?
Now I don't know him at all.
I see.
I called you because something terrible is going to happen.
Hey, Annie, bring your friend over here. He's getting ready to break.
I'll tell you later, Mr. Templer. Come on. Dad, this is Mr. Templer. My father, Mr. Templer.
I'm glad to know you, Mr. McIntyre.
How are you, son? Looks good, doesn't he, Annie? Full of run over there. Told Vic not to let him out, though. An easy 3/8, that's all.
Getting the horse ready for a race?
Well, I might let him go any day now. Almost any day. If he's up to it. Oh, watch him. He's getting close to the pole. Watch him. There he goes. Annie, Vic's letting him out too much. I told him. I said to him.
He's got a tight hold, Dad. He's just breathing.
Well, maybe. Hold him, Vic boy. Hold him.
Looks like a beautiful animal, Mr. McIntyre.
Never guess he was 8 years old, would you? Should have been one of the top ones, Pete should. Maybe will be yet. Hold him, boy.
He's just breathing, Dad.
Well, maybe. Got him.
How much did he run it in, Mr. McIntyre?
13.9 and a fifth. Don't think he's quite up to a race yet.
But you told Vic not to let him run, Dad. Pete was fighting for his head all the way down the stretch.
Maybe. Horseman, Mr. Templer?
A $2 better, Mr. McIntyre.
Greatest animal on the face of the earth, the thoroughbred horse. That includes humans, too. More heart, more brains, and much kinder to each other.
Yes, you may have a point. Has Peter the Great always been your horse?
Bred him, foaled him, raced him, and had him all his life. Outside of a couple of months a while back. If it hadn't been for a little leg trouble, Pete would be up there with the best. Oh, here he comes back.
39 and a fifth, Vic. You could have held him a little harder, though. Oh, Pete, steady, boy.
Held him a little harder. I almost pulled both arms off holding him.
All right, Vic, all right. Easy, boy.
You think Pete's ready for a race, Vic?
What's the matter with you, Annie? Are you getting it, too? You know he's ready for a race. He's been ready for a month. And Dad knows it, too.
Well, maybe. We'll see. Steady, Pete.
See? What is there to see? The horse is 8 years old. What are you waiting for? A match race with Citation?
Vic, this is Mr. Templer. He's a friend of mine.
Hi.
And I thought...
How are you, Vic?
Dad, what is it? Every time I work the horse, it's hold him, hold him. Every time I tell you he's ready as he'll ever be, it's maybe. Let's wait and see. Is it me? Are you afraid you won't get an honest ride? Is that it?
Vic.
Well, is it?
You know better than that, son.
All right. When are you going to run him, then?
Well, we'll see how he cools out today. Maybe in a week or 10 days.
A week or 10 days?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Come on, Pete. Come on, boy.
Vic, you shouldn't have said that to Dad about an honest ride.
That's what he's thinking, isn't it? That's what you're all saying behind my back, isn't it? And what's Mr. Templer here for, to spy on me?
Vic!
Well, I'll save you the trouble, Mr. Templer. Right now, I'm going to get some sleep. After which I get up, eat some crumbs that pass for a meal, get in a sweat box for as long as I can stand without it killing me, ride 5 races this afternoon, and after that, I've got a date.
Thanks for your assistance, Vic.
Don't mention it. See you later.
Vic, are you seeing her again?
Annie, you're a nice kid, but that's all you are. Just a kid. And who I see has got nothing to do with you. Understand?
Yes, Vic, I understand. Goodbye.
Annie.
Don't worry, Mr. Templer. I won't cry. I haven't cried since I was 6 years old. But, Mr. Templer, don't let him make Vic...
throw a race?
He wouldn't do anything dishonest. I know he wouldn't.
You love him very much, don't you?
I believe in him with all my heart.
Let's go, Louis.
What? Well, we're not staying for the races, Mr. Temple?
No, work to do.
Oh, too bad. I would have had 5 hours to figure out the first race.
You can spend 5 hours looking at a form sheet.
Oh, well, sure. Well, the trouble is, by then I can't see the horses.
Louis, where would I go to pick up whatever rumors might be flying around about horses and jockeys?
Oh, almost any barber shop. But if you want authentic rumors, I would drop in downtown on Honest Al, your friendly neighborhood bookie.
I thought Al was out of business due to a slight difficulty with the court of law.
Well, the technicalities of such things I don't follow all the ways, Mr. Temple, you understand. But the general principle I understand. It's like the song, there'll always be a bookie.
You know, you may be right. Hello, Al.
Simon Templer. A pleasure. Welcome to my humble cigar store.
How's business?
Haven't sold a cigar in months, but business is booming. How's things with you? No decline in crime, I hope.
No. Good. None whatever.
Just so we all keep busy. That's the big thing.
Al, what do you know about a horse owner and trainer named McIntyre?
Dad McIntyre? Mm-hmm. Anything you want to know. Owns Peter the Great, dog patch horse. Chestnut gelding, 8 years old. He's had a one-horse stable for years, has a daughter, 15, and raised Vic Borkowski, the jockey.
Vic always rides for him?
Nobody else has ridden Peter the Great for years.
Has anybody else ever owned the horse?
No. Oh, yeah. Some months ago, Big Ed Kleinman claimed him.
Claimed him?
Sure. Most cheap races are claiming races. You enter your horse for, say, $5,000, and if somebody puts in a claim for him, he owns the horse.
I see.
And nobody would ever claim Peter the Great, because they knew how Dad felt about him. But Big Ed did, and it almost broke Dad's heart.
How did Big Ed do with the horse?
He won a couple of races with him, but then his legs went bad, and finally Dad claimed him back again.
What about the jockey, Vic?
Saint. All sorts of rumors float around about jockeys. All the time, all sorts of rumors.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can tell me, Al?
Well, if a real big bet came in against a horse that Vic was riding, and Vic was on the favorite, I might be tempted to lay off the bet somewhere else. Nothing personal, just business.
I see. You don't know any particular girl who Vic has been seeing, do you?
Sure I do. Jocks live in a goldfish bowl. If one of them scratches his head with his left hand, 50 horse players spend the whole night trying to figure out what it means.
The girl?
A big blonde named Crystal Winters.
Mm-hmm.
Showgirl. Used to go with Ed Kleinman. She hangs out at the bandbox.
Thanks, Al. I'll be a character witness for you someday.
That's a deal. I hope you get him straightened out.
Get who straightened out?
The kid, Vic. Used to be a nice guy. Maybe he still is. Dad's a nice guy, too. And I always liked Annie. I even liked the horse.
Hell.
Awful, isn't it? Don't let this get out, Saint. It would ruin me in the profession.
Good evening, Vic.
Huh? Oh. Hi.
Introduce your friend, Vic.
This is Mr. Templer, Crystal. Friend of Annie's. Miss Winters, Mr. Templer.
A pleasure, Miss Winters.
Have you got a first name, Mr. Templer, so that we can be old friends and then you can sit down and join us?
The first name is Simon, Crystal. And I'd love to join you if Vic doesn't object.
Object? This is what he's been waiting for all evening, isn't it, Vic?
Crystal, will you
knock off? Simon? Sit here next to me and have some champagne. Vic, you've let us run out of champagne again. Go get some more.
What do you think I am, a waiter?
Oh, no, you're a jockey. You're too short to be a waiter and too tall to be a midget, so you're a jockey.
You're getting tight, Crystal.
And you're getting the champagne. Goodbye, Vic.
Well.
Goodbye, Vic.
Okay.
You're a little rough on the boy, aren't you, Crystal?
Sure.
Why?
Well, I could say it was to drive him away because I'm bad for him, but I'd be lying. If I wanted to drive him away, I'd have to be a lot rougher than that.
I can see why.
Thank you, Simon, but you can't. Little jockeys just happen to like big, expansive, expensive blondes. I found that out at an early age, which was quite some time ago.
And do you like little jockeys?
You're becoming very personal, Simon. I don't quite know what I like. I'll have to think about it. And I'm a slow thinker.
Do you like big Ed Kleinman?
Why don't you ask him? He's standing right behind you.
Oh.
Who's your friend, Crystal?
Mr. Templer, Mr. Kleinman. Mr. Kleinman, Mr. Templer. Mr. Templer.
Shut up, Crystal. You a friend of Vic's, Templer?
Well, you might say that
Vic
I'm...
Vic hates him.
Just put me down as a patron of racing, Mr. Kleinman. I'm interested in improving the breed.
Yeah. Watched you move in on Vic, Templer. He's not big enough to object, but I am.
He didn't move in on Vic. He...
Shut up, Crystal. Leaving, Mr. Templer?
That seems to be the majority opinion. Good night, Crystal. Every moment has been golden.
You hear that, Ed? Can't you say something nice like that sometime instead of...
Shut up, Crystal.
A one-track mind. Hello, what is it?
Mr. Templer?
Who's this?
Ann McIntyre, Mr. Templer. I'm terribly sorry to bother you, but...
What's wrong, Annie?
It's Dad. I can't find him. He never stays out this late, Mr. Templer. He's always out at the track early in the morning, and he...
What time is it?
4 a.m. I didn't want to wake you, but I've been sitting here all by myself wondering...
Stay right there, Annie. Most likely your dad will show up before I get there. But I'll be right out.
Thank you, Mr. Templer. Thank you. You don't think anything has happened to him?
No, Annie. I'll be right there.
Mr. Templer, he never did anything like this before. He...
Easy, Anne. When did he leave here, do you know?
I was here. It was around 9. Dad left to walk over to Pete's stall. He always does that just before he goes to bed. And then he just didn't come back.
Did you look for him?
Yes, I went over to the stables. I didn't see him in Pete's stall, and I asked a few people, but none of them had seen him, and I came back here. He was always in bed by 10, Mr. Templer, every night of his life.
All right, Annie, we'll find him. Did you call Vic?
He's living at a hotel. He just moved from living with us a month ago. I called him.
Is he in?
No.
All right. Don't worry, Annie. We'll find your dad. Let's go over to the stables.
All right, but I looked there.
Well, we'd better cover them again.
Shh! What is it?
Somebody coming.
Dad?
Hmm? Oh, Annie. What are you doing out this late? And Templar?
Hello, Al. Seen anything of Annie's dad?
No. Just came from a poker game with some of the boys, but we didn't see him.
Well, you know he never stayed out this late, Al, never.
Sure, Annie, sure. You've been down to Pete's stall?
Annie looked there earlier, but we might check again.
It's right over here.
Easy, boy, easy.
Dad! He's not here, Mr. Temple.
I'll go in just to make sure. Wait here, Annie.
I'll come with you. Easy does it, Pete. Well, the old boy, he looks excited about something, saying.
Yes, I noticed. Well, it doesn't look as if... Al.
Yeah. Over in the corner. The dad?
I'm afraid so. Got a lighter?
Here.
Mark of a horseshoe. Must have killed him instantly. Keep Annie out, will you?
Sure.
Mr. Temple.
Oh, wait a minute, dear.
Dad!
I'm sorry, Annie.
Oh, please. He's...
I'm afraid that he is, kid.
How, Al?
Well, Pete must
No,
have...
not Pete. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. He couldn't. I'll never believe Pete did it.
And maybe I won't either. Annie, I want to help you make some plans.
Plans, Mr. Templer? What's there for me to do? Just keep on going to school. I've got another year and keep on living here. I guess you'll keep on living at your hotel, Vic.
I think that's best, Annie.
Of course, you're right.
What about Peter the Great?
Pete?
Yes.
I know Vic thinks Dad wouldn't race him because he didn't trust Vic to ride him. But I don't believe that. So I've entered Peter the Great in the sixth race tomorrow. Will you ride him, Vic?
You trust me to give you an honest ride, Annie?
I trust you, yes.
Oh. Thanks, kid. Thanks, I'll ride him. I'll ride him for you. So long.
Did I do wrong, Mr. Templer?
If you like someone very much, then... you have to trust them, Annie. You just have to. And that's never wrong. Hello, Al.
Well, hello, Mr. Templer. Here to place a little wager on Peter the Great for tomorrow?
Word gets around fast.
It's a scientific pastime, Mr. Templer. The players have to study out things well in advance. Helps them to lose their money.
Had any action yet on the race?
Definitely. Mr. Big Ed Kleinman placed a very substantial sum on two other horses in the race, which I promptly laid off with a connection I got out of town.
He's pretty sure Peter won't win.
He must know something. If he doesn't, he stands to go broke. Pete's picked in the consensus. He'll go off maybe even money.
Well, what could Big Ed know, Al?
Well, what's there to know? You can't very well dope a horse these days. So what does that leave?
The man on the horse's back.
The monkey on the stick. You know the saying, Saint, never bet on anything with two legs.
That's a bitter comment on the human race, Al.
All I know is it's very hard to find a dishonest horse.
Well, Big Ed isn't throwing money around just on speculation, I suppose.
It's the size.
The what?
The size of the jocks. They're 5 foot men in the 6 foot world. They never get to eat a decent meal. They can't take a drink. Everybody else is trying to get big and strong, and the worst thing that can happen to them is they grow up to be normal. So if their ethics are not all they might be, well, it's...
Now that's understandable.
A very good word.
You don't think Vic Borkowski will give Annie an honest ride tomorrow?
I'll tell you better this time tomorrow. How are you betting?
I'm not a better, Al. I'm only interested in improving the breed.
Hey, who do you like in the sixth, Mr. Templar?
Peter the Great, Louis.
Well, you liked him at even money?
I'll tell you after the race.
After the race. Uh-huh. Thanks very much, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Louis. It's just that I almost wish the race wasn't going to be run. I have a feeling something tragic is about to happen, and I don't know what I can do to stop it.
You know, I get that feeling every time I go to the window to bet a horse.
A girl's life can be shattered at 15 and never quite be the same.
Well, you know, that's what they call a vulnerable age. Oh, here we are. You got any plan in mind, Mr. Temple?
I'm afraid it's too late to do much, Louis. Even if there was anything to be done. But just on a chance, I'm going to check the clubhouse bar.
Hey, you don't think you'll find your friend Annie in the bar?
Maybe another friend, Louis. Enjoying the races, Crystal?
Oh, Mr. Simon Templer. Sit down, Mr. Simon Templer.
Winning or losing?
It's a system. You divide the number of highballs you've had by five. Add three, and that's your horse. Never fail. Except when you've had enough highballs to make it work, you forget how many highballs you've had.
How many highballs does it take to forget this next race?
I'm trying to find out.
You know something about it, don't you, Crystal?
Sure I do. Why don't you ask me what?
I'll ask you.
Then I won't tell you.
Were you ever 15, Crystal?
Sure I was. At 15, I started dancing a chorus line. At 16, I was married. 2 months later, I was back in the line. Was I ever 15?
Did you ever believe in someone so hard it hurt? And have him take your belief and throw it away?
You're talking about the kid. Annie and her jockey.
Yeah. What's going to happen, Crystal? You know. Tell me.
That's the funny part. I don't. Nobody does.
Well, what's that supposed to mean? Either Vic throws the race or he doesn't. What else is there? Either Annie gets her heart broken or she doesn't. If it's an honest race, Pete should win easily.
All right, Boy Scout. I'll tell you. Why? Don't ask me why. Maybe a girl can be pushed around only so long. Maybe she can be pushed around all her life like a mop. Maybe she can have...
Crystal, there isn't much time. Tell me. You've got to tell me.
All right. There's nothing you can do anymore. You know my boyfriend at Kleinman?
Yeah.
Know how many kinds of a louse he is? He wouldn't bet on this race only because I was supposed to persuade poor little Vic to lose. He couldn't trust either of us that far. He's got another gimmick.
What?
You know, he owned Peter the Great a few months back.
Yes, I know. Claimed him from Dad McIntyre.
Well, poor old Pete broke down. So Ed nerved him.
He what?
He nerved him. Took out the nerve in his sore leg so he couldn't feel anything when he ran. Nice.
Oh, what happens to the horse?
Nothing. For a while. Ed won another race with him, then he let Dad claim him back. But after a while, the leg begins to die. And sooner or later, if you run the horse, one leg will cross in front of the other in a race.
Well, what happens to the jockey?
I don't know. If he's not trying to win, the horse might not even fall. If he's out front with the whole pack behind him.
Great dandy. Does Vic know about the horse's leg?
Nobody knows. Except me and Big Ed and now you.
But Dad knew, didn't he? That's why he wouldn't run the horse. Kept telling Vic to hold him back, even in a workout. It must have been nice for him knowing Pete had to die.
Money, 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 money.
The horses are nearing the starting gate.
And you can't do anything about it. Too late. Much too late.
Crystal, what happened the night Dad was killed?
I told you enough. I told you too much.
Did he come to the club that night looking for Kleinman? Did he?
He came there, that's all I know. I don't know anything more, that's all I know.
That's enough.
What's enough? Race ready to go, Crystal, are you? So you've been talking.
Ed, I didn't say anything about that. Honest, I didn't.
Shut up.
Too late, Kleinman. Way too late.
Hey, Mr. Templer, don't you want to see the race? They're in the gate.
Just a minute, Louis.
What?
I want you to hear this. Kleinman.
What?
Anyone that would kill a horse would have to figure on killing the horse's owner, too. Or get killed himself.
McIntyre got kicked by his own horse. Everybody knows that.
You expected Dad to show up when he found out you nerved his horse, and you were ready for him.
I never saw him.
He already knows you.
Shut up, Crystal.
An old trick, Kleinman. Tie a horseshoe on a baseball bat makes it look like a man's been kicked by a horse, doesn't it? Must have been quite a job getting Dad back to the stables. But then, you're a big man.
Such a big man.
Listen, Templar. This doesn't add up to anything. But you're just trying to make trouble for me. You know, if it's just a question of money...
Money,
you know...
money, money. Don't you know, honey? You haven't got that much money.
You shut up!
You know, Kleinman, I'm getting a little tired listening to you say shut up. Go for the track police, Louis, will you?
Oh, a pleasure, Mr. Templar.
Wait a minute.
That gun must be very heavy.
I'd like to use it on all of you.
But there isn't time, is there?
Well, just stay where you are. I'm getting out of here.
Hey, you want us to try and catch him, Mr. Temple?
No, he won't go far. Get the track police after him, Louis. I've got to find Annie.
And they're off. At the start, it's Speed Merchant breaking on top. Followed by Count Favacci, Harbor Light, Quizme, Fleet Arlene, and Peter the Great.
Annie.
Oh, Mr. Templer, I've been looking for you.
How does it look?
Oh, he wants to run, Mr. Templer. He wants to run. Well, let him out, Vic. Let him out.
Peter the Great between horses, Harbor Light by one, and Fleet Arlene. Into the back stretch, Count Favacci is drawn out by two lengths. Speed Merchant by one, moving up from the outside.
Now, Vic, now. Give him his head, Vic.
Harbor Light.
He can do it if you let him, Vic. He can do it if you let him.
Into the far turn, it's still Count Favacci showing in front by one length. Speed Merchant, with me. Now moving up very fast. And the outside is Peter the Great. He's second. He's going to get the leader. Now it's Peter the Great in front by one link.
Count Favacci,
Speed Merchant, third, Quiz Me.
He's riding him, Mr. Templer. Vic is riding him. He's letting him run.
And turning for home, it's Peter the Great by four lengths. Speed Merchant is second by two.
Quiz Me,
Count Favacci, Fleet Arlene by a neck, and Harbor Light. Into the stretch, it's Peter the Great stretching out by six lengths.
They'll never catch him. They'll never catch him.
Speed Merchant is second by half a length. Quiz Me, Fleet Arlene, and Peter the Great wins it going away.
Oh, Mr. Templer, he won.
There's trouble. Peter the Great is going down.
Oh, Vic! Vic! Mr. Templer?
He's going to be all right, Annie.
Oh.
He was thrown clear.
Well, I guess I better be going.
Wait a minute, Annie. He wants to see you.
He does?
As a matter of fact, he was very emphatic about it. Go on in and smile for him.
But what will I say? I mean, how will I act?
Do you feel?
Well, I don't feel like a kid anymore. You don't think he'll call me a kid again, do you, Mr. Templer?
I don't believe he will.
But how will I act?
Oh, don't worry, Annie. When the time comes, a girl always knows how to act.
You think that this is the time?
This is the time, Annie. Good luck to both of you.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star, Tom Conway.
Ladies and gentlemen, in our cast you heard Janet Waldo as Annie and Gene Tatum as Crystal. Jack Moyles played Dad, Sam Edwards Vic, and Paul Richards Al. Paul Fries was Big Ed. Louis is played by Larry Dobkin. This is Tom Conway inviting you to join us again next week at our new time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This script of The Saint was written by Dick Powell. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Tom Conway is soon to be seen in Warner Brothers' production of Gold Diggers in Las Vegas. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that The Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley.
It's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. Beginning next Sunday, July 1st, The Saint moves to a new time on most NBC stations. Yes, beginning next Sunday, you'll hear The Saint 30 minutes earlier at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. Next Sunday at this hour, a new show joins your NBC lineup of top mystery programs. Martin Caine, Private Eye, starring Lloyd Nolan. And here he is, one of Hollywood's finest actors, Lloyd Nolan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your invitation to join me as Martin Caine, Private Eye. My new role on this station beginning Sunday, July 1st.
Hear Lloyd Nolan as Martin Caine, Private Eye, at this same time beginning next Sunday. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I learned two things in Cheyenne. One, that Hucky Dummy is baking powder bread with raisins. The other, that love's labor is not always lost, even if you don't know how to use a gun.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I had spent a week in Chugwater with Hyena Bob Saunders, who ran the Cheyenne and Black Hills stage station. Now, I was on my way back to Cheyenne to send off to the London Times one or two of the more choice stories he had told me. There was only one other passenger in the stage with me, a man in his middle 20s. He introduced himself as Tom Hart. He was well-dressed, and at first glance, I took him to be an Easterner.
No, I was born in Kansas. Reared in Montana territory. Now I call Wyoming my home. How about you?
Born in England. I'm trying to make a living writing articles on the West for the London Times.
Oh, you been in Cheyenne yet?
Oh, yes.
How are things?
Well, that's hard to say. I haven't seen too much of it.
3 years since I was there. I guess the town's changed some. This road sure hasn't.
Well, Cheyenne's thriving, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I've heard. Big cattle interest.
I gather you're coming back from the East.
These fancy dude clothes, huh? Yeah, I've been in the East and other parts. Then gets tired of drifting, though. It's time to go home. That's where I'm headed.
Cheyenne?
Yeah. I made me some good money. Now, I figure to get married, raise a flock of kids.
That's a worthwhile project.
There's a girl in Cheyenne, Kendall. We've been writing. Leastways, up to a year back, I got a letter from her when I was in New York.
I wish you luck.
Thanks. You married?
No.
Well, they say it ties a man down, but I figure if a gal's got her mind made up for marriage, might as well drop your rope on her, because if you don't, somebody else is going to.
I see you have the philosopher's attitude toward marriage.
Well, I don't know about that, but I've been lone wolfing long enough. Carrie's her name. Carrie Hudson. Used to be a cookie pusher up at the Blue Star Cafe.
A cookie pusher?
A waitress.
Oh.
I'll tell you what, when we get in town, you come on up with me to the Blue Star. Used to have the best eats in town. I guess they still do. I'll be proud to have you meet Carrie.
We spent the rest of the journey discussing matters of both consequence and triviality. Hart had received no formal education, but his travels had given him a certain sophistication, and the time passed pleasantly. When we arrived in Cheyenne, I tried to persuade him that his fiancée would be much happier to greet him alone, but Hart would have none of it. He insisted that I accompany him, and so together we walked to where he knew the Blue Star Cafe to be.
Charlie Bannister runs the place. Charlie looks like bad medicine. Some says he used to be a short trigger man, but it ain't true. By the way he looked after Carrie, you'd think she was his own daughter. I sure had to play it straight before Charlie let me start riding herd on the gal. Say, listen, you hungry?
A little.
You wait till you taste Charlie's hucky dummy. He used to be a range cook, and there's never been a man made hucky dummy the way Charlie makes it. Hey, that's funny.
Huh. Looks as though it's closed.
Well, it does for a fact. First time I ever knew the Blue Star closed. You see anybody moving around in there?
No.
She's open. Hello, Charlie?
Whoever you are, come on in back.
I sure don't figure. Hey, Charlie, you'll...
What do you say, Tom?
Charlie, this is a fellow I met on the stage coming in. J.B. Kendall.
How are you?
Hello, Charlie.
What's happened? How'd you get like this?
I guess you ain't heard. There was a shoot-up in here a year or so ago.
Carrie. Is Carrie all right?
When it was finished, the boys had done the shooting, robbed me, and hightailed it out. I ain't moved from the bed since, Tom.
What about Carrie?
She ain't here no more.
Well, where'd she go?
Ask Jack Feeney up to Holloman Saloon.
I'm asking you, Charlie.
And I ain't saying. You and me was friends, Tom. I'd leave keep it that way.
Now, what's Jack Feeney got to do with it? What, Charlie?
All right, I'll tell you. Carrie took a shine to him while you was gone.
That's a lie.
I told Feeney to leave her alone. There was words. I threw him out. Same night he comes back with one of his boys and they fill me full of lead.
Well, wasn't this Feeney arrested then, Charlie?
Sure, but it was his word against mine, and Carrie took his side and swore at the trial it was someone else had come in and shot me up.
Is she with Feeney now?
I ain't seen her since that day. Say, Tom, boy, while you're here, pump me a jug of water, will you? Old Doc Thorne says I gotta drink plenty of water. And Mrs. Carroll's been helping out, but she ain't showed up yet today.
Yeah, sure. I'll be right back, Charlie.
Thank you. I ain't got the stomach to tell him all the truth of it. You'll have to find out sooner or later for yourself. She married Feeney.
Oh? When?
Yeah. Right before the trial. Guess it was partly my fault. I should have seen it. Carrie getting lonesome waiting for Tommy and Feeney coming in here. His fancy spending ways. He runs a gambling in Holloman Saloon. Well, next thing you know, Carrie's looking cow eyes at him.
Well, don't you think it'd be better to tell Hart now about the marriage?
Say, listen, you keep an eye on him, will you? Tom's got a bad temper. He gets it in his head to start trouble, there's likely to be a killing.
All the more reason to tell him then. This way, he'll go up to the saloon looking for her.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It wouldn't be so good.
Here's your water, Charlie. Anything else I can do for you?
Yeah. Stay away from Holloman Saloon. I lied to you before, Tom. She's there with Feeney. They're married.
Anything else I can do for you, Charlie?
No, reckon not. Hey, come on back and see me if you have a mind to. I'd sure like to hear about your travels.
I'll do that. So long.
You take it easy, Tom.
Goodbye, Charlie.
You take it easy, Tom.
Well, I guess I'll be seeing you, Kendall.
Where will you go, Tom?
Not that it's any of your business, but I guess you ask out of kindness. I'm going up to Holloman's Saloon and have me a few drinks.
Oh, well, mind if I come along?
No. No, I don't mind.
We walked down the main street. I knew it was pointless to tell him that trying to see his girl was the worst thing he could do to himself. I rather liked him, and I suppose that's the reason I went with him. He didn't say a word until we reached the saloon. Then he said,
"You go ahead, Kendall.
I'll meet you in there in a few minutes. I got an errand to do first.
Oh, I'll come with you. I don't mind.
I do. Just order me a bottle of whiskey. I'll see you inside.
All right.
Well, hello, stranger. You're a little early, but what's your pleasure? Cards? A dance?
As a matter of fact, I'm looking for Carrie.
Oh, for what?
Are you Carrie?
Yes.
Can we sit at the table?
I don't sit with customers, mister. That's for the girls. You want to talk business, you can talk to my husband.
A friend of yours is in Cheyenne. Tom Hart.
Tom?
He's just heard about you. He'll be coming in here in a minute. You ought to know.
Thanks, mister. How did he take the news?
He got it from Charlie. Well, he'll probably get very drunk. I imagine I'd do the same.
He won't make trouble.
I'll try to see that he doesn't.
Has he said anything about me?
Only that he was expecting to marry you.
Right. I thought... It doesn't matter. Anybody got the price of a drink in his pocket's welcome. That goes for Tom Hart as well as the next man. You want a table, mister?
Yes, a table would be fine.
This way. What are you drinking?
Oh, beer, I think. Yes, and a bottle of whiskey.
My husband. Jack doesn't like him. I wouldn't want Tom to get hurt on account of me. Will you get him out of here if he's looking for someone to sharpen his horns on?
I'll do my best.
Thanks. Beer and a bottle of whiskey, mister.
Beer and a bottle of whiskey.
Well, where's the drinks?
On their way, Tom. What's the gun for, Tom?
She's right clean and shining, ain't she? Set me back $20.
Put it away.
I bought it, and I aim to use it. As soon as I get drunk enough, I'm going to kill me a skunk called Feeney.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Fast with a quip, faster at making time with a beautiful girl, but fastest of all with a clue. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, will be along with his latest insurance investigation later today on CBS Radio. Get next to Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on most of these stations. Now, we return you to the Anthony Ellis production of Frontier Gentlemen.
Tom Hart and I sat at a table in Holloman's saloon, and between us lay a brand new .44 revolver. After a moment, Tom picked it up and slowly rotated the cylinder. He didn't turn as Carrie came toward us, didn't look up as she put down my beer and Tom's bottle of whiskey.
Yes, sir. It's a mighty pretty talking iron.
How are you, Tom?
Hmm? Oh, Carrie. Yeah, I heard you was here. Well, you're looking good. You know, back east, they drink a toast to new married folks. So I drink to you, Carrie. Well, where's your husband, Mrs. Feeney?
Jack's out. Don't make trouble, Tom. What's done is done.
That's the way you see it, huh, Carrie?
You never wrote.
I didn't have to. You were my girl. I told you I'd be back, but you couldn't wait.
I waited 2 years.
You was in such a hurry, you had to get Feeney to put Charlie out of the way, too.
That's not so, Tom.
Charlie, he's lying in bed. He don't move anything but his arms anymore. Your husband did a right fine job. You ain't even been to see him since.
That doesn't do much good, you know.
She's not the same anymore. At first I thought she was, but she's not. She was a girl. A nice girl when I left. She got too much paint now. Looks like a honky-tonk woman.
If your drink will go.
There's time. There's plenty of time. I want to have a talk with Jack Feeney. He shot up a friend of mine, you remember? You want to leave, it's all right, Campbell. You go ahead.
I'll stay.
You want a whiskey to chase down the ear?
No, thank you.
Do you know why I'm going to get drunk?
I've got a rough idea.
Yeah? How rough?
Well, Tom, you know, you really haven't got any right to start trouble with Feeney.
What about Charlie? What about him?
The court said Feeney was innocent.
Charlie says he did it.
And if you shoot Feeney, they'll find you guilty. What'll you prove?
She said she was going to wait. She said she loved me. Now, ain't that a laugh? Love.
That's why you're getting drunk. Then you'll be able to get angry without thinking.
You talk too much.
Well, you ask me.
Where'd she go?
Up the stairs.
Hey, you figure she was lying. Maybe Jack Feeney's here. She's gone up to tell him.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to find out.
No, I wouldn't. No, sit down, Tom.
Give me that gun, Kendall.
Now, you sit down. You're not that drunk yet, and you're not going up there to start shooting.
Give me the gun.
No.
You're bigger than me, but I ain't afraid to tangle with you.
I didn't say you were.
All right. I'm going up there without a gun.
Oh, don't be a fool. Tom.
Don't rile me, mister.
Tom, she's married to him. You'll find another girl.
Hey, where are you going? How come you're going up to me and my wife's room?
Figured to find you there, Feeney.
Well, Tom Hart.
That's right.
I stepped out for a while. If I'd known you was going to pay a visit, I'd have come back sooner. Have you seen my wife, Tom?
Yeah, I've seen her.
Well, we'll have to get her down and have a friendly drink together. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting your friend.
J.B. Kendall.
Put her there, Kendall. Gary, come on down. Hey, Lester, bring a bottle of champagne.
I didn't come to drink with you, Feeney. I came to kill you.
Well, sure, you can do that any time, but you'll have a drink first, huh? Here, sit down, boys. When'd you get back in town, Tom?
Today. And I seen Charlie.
Yeah? I heard about Charlie. You was too bad him getting shot like that.
The way Charlie tells it, you did the shooting.
Poor feller. They say it made him a mite loco.
Here's your champagne, Mr. Feeney.
And here comes the prettiest little woman in Cheyenne. Sit down, Carrie. I hear you've met Mr. Kendall here. And Tom?
Yes.
Well, it's like old times. Except a thing or two has changed. I got me a new wife. What'd you get back east, Tom?
I'm telling you something, Feeney. I had a gun, which a friend of mine didn't figure I was drunk enough, or maybe sober enough to use. Well, I'm going out and get another one. And the next time I see you, I'm going to be using it.
He sure is excitable, ain't he? You figure he's still galling over you, Carrie?
What does it matter?
What do you think, Kendall?
I think that Tom Hart's in a mood for murder. Whether it's because of your wife or Charlie, I don't know.
Jack didn't shoot Charlie, Mr. Kendall. I know he didn't because we were together that night.
That's true. Must have been a couple of cowboys dropped at Charlie's place and robbed him, gave him lead poison, but it wasn't me.
Why does Charlie say it was?
That was at the trial, he said it then, too. Of course, my lawyer, he showed where it was dark in Charlie's cafe, and Charlie couldn't rightly tell who was in there that night. Charlie figured it was me, because we'd had words the same day.
I think I better find Tom.
Nah, don't you go worrying, Kendall. You cool down. Besides, Tommy ain't no kind of a hand with a gun, and he knows it. If he comes looking for me, we'll take care of him.
Which was exactly what I was afraid of. I spent the next hour going from one saloon to the next, looking for Tom. I couldn't find him. And so I went back to see the one person who I thought might be able to help.
No, he ain't come back here. Took it bad, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the trouble with that boy. Everything nice and easy with him.
Never could figure what he was really thinking, but when he busted loose...
Charlie, are you still positive it was Feeney who shot you?
Sure I am.
Well, Carrie says he was with her that night.
She's lying.
Why would she lie?
Well, don't ask me how come a woman does what she does.
I think the one reason that Tom's going after Feeney now is a matter of pride. He doesn't want to back down. He'll use you as an excuse.
I don't need any man to fight my war.
Do you think there's a chance, even a remote one, that it was dark that night you were shot and perhaps you were mistaken about Feeney?
Well, I guess there's a chance, but...
Charlie, if I can find Tom, if he knows that, if you'll tell...
Shh. I'm out of time. Carrie.
Is he here?
No.
I had to come. I don't want him to get hurt. I wanted to talk with him.
Ain't much for you to say, seems to me.
I made a mistake. I'm not making another. It was Jack shot you, Charlie. I lied for him. Uh-huh. He said if I didn't, either he or his boys would get you for good. He said he'd kill me, too.
Then why'd you marry him?
I had to. That doesn't matter now. We've got to find Tom. Jack sent two of his boys out looking for him. He wants to kill Tom.
Why?
I guess he knows. He's always known how I feel.
And I'm going back to the saloon. You'd better stay here, Carrie.
Couldn't find him, huh?
No.
Well, he's probably sobered up by now. He'll be all right. Yeah, nice fella, Tom. Just a little too hot-headed for his own good, that's all.
Well, I imagine when a man comes home and finds his girl married to another man, it can be a little upsetting.
Sure, sure.
And then seeing a good friend of his lying paralyzed, shot by the man who married his girl, likely to make a chap unreasonable.
Even though he's wrong, yeah, I see what you mean.
Then if he finds out that the girl's husband forced her to lie, and if he finds out that the girl still loves him, he'd be in quite a state.
Yeah, that wouldn't be so good, would it?
Hmm. Now, if I were the husband, I'd want to get rid of that fellow, say, for like Tom, because my life wouldn't be safe for 1 minute. I'd send some men out looking for him with orders to shoot on sight.
You got any more ideas along that line?
Well, if a man like Tom had a friend, the friend wouldn't want to see Tom, bushwhacked, I think is the word.
That friend is talking himself into a mite of trouble.
You think so? Then the friend would make another suggestion.
Yeah.
The husband is quite obviously a most unpleasant person. And the best thing he could do would be to give his wife a divorce so that she can live a decent life with Tom Hart.
I'm back, Feeney.
Yeah, I see you are, Tom.
Candle, get away from me. I'm giving him a chance to draw, which is more than he did for Charlie.
You heard him, Candle. It's a fair fight.
I heard. Tom, look out behind you!
Thank you, Kendall.
Oh, not at all. Those are two of Mr. Feeney's chums. They've been looking for you. Now, Feeney, you were saying something about a fair fight.
Now listen, Tom.
Draw.
I ain't fighting with you.
You ain't got the guts of a lizard. Draw.
I told you, I ain't...
Hey, son of a gun!
I ain't fighting.
Well, I am!
Oh, my. Sounded as though you broke his jaw, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't it?
I think Mr. Feeney will be leaving town. I also think he'll want to give Carrie a divorce.
Oh?
I thought you might be interested. Incidentally... What would you have done if he had drawn on you?
I don't know. Never thought about it. He probably would have killed me.
Yes. I think he would. Well, I'll take care of the arrangements here. You better go over to Charlie's now. Carrie's waiting.
Waiting? For me?
Well, I don't imagine it's for me.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall, Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Virginia Gregg, Jack Crucian, and Harry Bartell. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from the Saint, Frontier Gentlemen, past episodes of this podcast, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. You can support everything Relic Radio at the website as well. Click on that donate button. Your support is what keeps all of this going. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.